McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. And good morning and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry and we've got another fantastic show ahead. And Jonna is just bristling to tell us a story. Now, this is after the weirdness of you running in here claiming you were about to lose a piece of clothing, but you were bouncing. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that's not going to help keep this piece of clothing on.
Which has nothing to do with why I am bristling.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
All right, well, first of all, let me just say welcome back. As you know, our listeners may have realized that we had a repeat show last week because, I'm not going to go into too much detail about why, but I had to make a hurried trip out of town last week.
Yes, you did.
And so I'm going to give you a little background because that required me to get on a plane, something I don't do very often and something I don't enjoy, frankly. I have never enjoyed it. Is it a germ thing? I'm not like a jet set. It's a combination germ thing, crowd thing, and fear of sudden death thing.
Yeah, see, I'm number three.
Yeah, you're with
I'll
me on that,
three.
Right? You know,
yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's just different. Like, I know far more people die in vehicles, but you figure, like, when my feet are on the ground, at least I got a fighting chance. You know what
right.
I mean? Anyway, so I do have to kind of out myself and give you a little background, and that is because I hate to fly so much. It is very important for me to do it in absolute comfort. What do I mean? I mean that I will get a second mortgage on my house in order to buy a first class ticket if that's what it takes. Now, fortunately...
Oh, I thought this was going to involve yoga pants and an animal foot issue. Go
ahead.
Oh,
no.
And this doesn't involve you not wearing socks and comfy shoes?
Oh, sidebar. I got my TSA pre-check clearance.
Oh,
I sailed right through. Shoes on, computer in my bag. Didn't have to. I just bebop right through. Didn't need those fake little socks and nothing. It was awesome. That said, what I'm about to tell you was far from awesome. So I find
that surprising.
So my background point is I run a business. I spend a lot of money in my business. So I rack up a lot of credit card points, and that will help me since I don't fly very often. That will often help me upgrade my ticket so that I can fly in comfort, first class, not because I'm a diva, because I don't like crowds. I don't like flying. And if I am going to die a sudden death, I want to be in the
with
front.
A glass of champagne
yeah.
in your right hand.
Right, and some warm nuts in my lap. No pun intended. So with that said, I kind of had to make a quick emergency trip. But I get my ticket. I get my first class ticket. I make my trip. And I'm now coming home on Saturday. Right, so I get to the airport, and I did have to check a couple of bags. So I get my bags checked, and the SkyCap or whatever gives me a, you know, if you guys, you're both flown. Nowadays, you do everything on your phone, but for whatever reason, the SkyCap gave me like a big, long ticket that used to look like a boarding pass with
right.
my name on it and my tag so I could match them to my bags, which never happens. I have never had to match my tags to my bags when I got to my destination ever, but they continue to do it. Okay, fine. So I get that. I put it in my back pocket. I go sailing through my TSA pre-check. Woo, woo, shoes on, everything. It's all good.
You sashayed through. You did not sail through.
You are exactly
good,
right.
Good point.
Thank you.
I sashayed through. Now, it had been an incredibly stressful week. Like I said, this was kind of an impromptu, spur of the moment play. I had some business to take care of. So when I get to the airport on Saturday, I'm a human, and I needed to decompress a little bit. So I find a bar. And while I wait for my flight. Now, I probably shouldn't say this because there could be kids in the room, but it's 7 o'clock in the morning. All right, but like I said, I had an excuse. So it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, look, you're not driving. Who
no.
cares?
If the bar is open, Nobody's judging.
It was open. And it happened to be Las Vegas, so I wasn't worried about there being an open bar. But I have an hour or so to kill before my flight, and I go and I decide to order a margarita. And while I'm there, I'm chatting with the nice bartender, was a nice enough woman, and I don't know. I think maybe she could tell that I was coming off a frazzling week. So I finished my first margarita, and she's like, how much time do you have? And I'm like, why are you asking? She's like, well, I was, you know, this one's on me.
Aww.
And she gives me another margarita. So it's like, you know, 7:30. Anyway, long story short, I finished margarita number two. I board the plane. And needless to say now, my bladder is full of tequila, and I have to pee. Now, you guys, I'm sure anybody who's flown knows that you can't just use, like, after the boarding process, when they lock the doors and you're taxiing, like, there's this waiting period where you cannot go.
Yep.
For love or money. They'll stop the plane. They'll kick you off. They'll do whatever. Everyone will hate you. And you got to hold it until you get to 30,000 feet or whatever. Okay, fine. So I got my my bladder's full. I'm in the plane.
Poor planning.
Warm. Yeah,
I thought you were a better drinker than that.
Listen to me. Listen, Linda. I am a better drinker than that. However, I'm not a better drinker than that when it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, fine.
And I am at an airport.
I'll give you that.
And you're a little stressy.
And I'm a little stressy. Okay, so this is all leading up to the crescendo. Finally, we're at our cruising altitude, and I say to the nice flight attendant, like, because my back teeth are floating, I'm like, can I please get up and use the bathroom? She's like, yes, of course you go. I'm like, oh, there is a God. So now I get to the, I'm the first person in the bathroom. I'm in first class, first person in the bathroom. All right. So, you know, they're tiny little spaces.
Yep.
So I, you know, kick the lid up with my foot.
And that's 100% true, too.
I turn around. I unbutton my pants. I assume the universal hovering position that every woman has to assume when she's relieving her bladder. And I proceed to do what I had to do. Good. Okay? I feel good. I feel good. Now, I had to, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but once a woman is done peeing, You clean yourself up, button up, you go. All right, so it was during that cleaning up process where my eyeballs had a reason to be averted downward.
Oh, no.
And I notice at that point in time in the toilet, in this very small bathroom, that there's like a huge like piece of paper in the toilet. And I'm like, wow, that looks almost like a manifesto. Like that's a fresh piece of paper with stuff printed on it, and it looks fairly new. How the heck?
Oh, it wasn't toilet paper. It was actual paper.
No, it was like
I have a feeling I know what this is.
It's actual paper with printing, and I'm like,
not there yet.
And I'm like, how in the world did this, you know, book get in the toilet in this bathroom?
Are you peeing in the trash can?
No.
And this is especially with a brand new sparkling clean toilet because you're the first person
to use it. Brand new sparkling clean toilet. I'm the first person to use it. So upon closer inspection, I put my hand in my back pocket because it suddenly dawned on me that that is where I put my luggage ticket that they gave me.
I saw that coming, but I didn't want to ruin the story.
I didn't. Oh, no.
So now I put my hand in my pocket and lo and behold, my luggage ticket is not there. So I put two and two together and I go, that belongs to me. That means my name is printed on that. It's a brand new piece of paper in this tiny toilet, and it's a huge, and I say
and
paper.
And I just peed on it.
I mean cardboard, and I peed on it. So I have, now I know there are other people.
Only you.
I know there are other people that probably need to use this bathroom, so I got to think quick. I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? Okay, I got it. These toilets have a very heavy flush. Like, they got a flush. They got gravity. You know, if you put your arm in there, you'd be sucked out. So I'm like, I'm just going to flush it.
It's got to pull it out.
It'll be fine. So I take my foot. I kick the flusher. It flushes. And then The piece of cardboard not only blocks the flow of the air in the water.
Oh, no.
But here's a little something you guys might not know.
Wow, this is priceless.
When something is blocking an airplane toilet such that the flow of water and
the
air cannot get
fills
through,
up.
Not only does the bowl fill up, but it makes this horrendous noise. I don't know if that's to alert the pilot that somebody is trying to shove a body part down there, but it was like, and I'm like, oh, God. So now I look around this one by one shower stall, and God. I'm like, what? I need either something to shove it farther down. Do I...
You needed grippers, one of those gripper things where people can't get out of the chair and they like squeeze the trigger and you can pull stuff.
Yeah, or one of those like bug grippers that you bought me that one time.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, I wasn't traveling with my bug gripper.
For the first time.
For the first time
Unbelievable.
Ever.
The one and only time you leave it home.
Freaking Murphy.
So I'm going to tell you something.
Went for it.
And I am ashamed, but I did not have a choice.
You had to.
I wrapped my hand in paper towel. And I fished out my luggage tag with my hand.
So,
but it's your own pee.
Yeah, I'm going in the same direction. My question of you is, why didn't you do that in the first place when it was just, you know, kind of easily floating on top and all you would have had to do was take a couple of small fingers
and have to know that's not going to be her plan
right
A.
Out.
That is never going to be her plan
Barry.
A.
Flush it or fish it. Flush it or fish it. I easily went for flush it. I figured how hard was it going to be?
Well,
what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, well, you found that out.
I sure did.
Yes, you did. Hey, when I dropped my wallet in the toilet of a Burger King while I was driving from Florida to New York or Pittsburgh, I grabbed that wallet, damn it.
That
first
was a
thing.
Wallet. That had important stuff
in
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
I just didn't want to be identified as the chick who's dropped her luggage cardboard out of her back pocket.
So here's the thing that I want to ask you, because you give me your opinion. So Jonna is concerned that, say, the next person that goes in there, they're going to go in, they're going to look down, they're going to say, oh, that's Jonna Spillbore in the toilet. And then they're going to say to themselves, I don't know who that is. And then they're done.
No, here was my concern. My concern was that I was going to ruin this toilet for everybody on that flight. And that I was going... And it was it's from Vegas. It was a 4.5-hour flight. And I
overflow the toilet and then have the stewardess call your name on the PA. Yeah.
So again...
Please come back to the stewardess station. Jonna Spillbore.
And I didn't want people to hate me.
And I returned back to... couple of little tiny fingers in the very beginning when it was still floating, you would have been good.
Says a man. It was the worst experience of my life.
So clearly you didn't fold it up and put it in your back pocket.
Oh, heck no.
You shoved it as far down the little trash chute as you could.
As far as I could. Then I
scrubbed up to your elbows.
Sanitized as far as I could. And then I walked out like I just, you know, was just straightening my skirt, even though I wasn't wearing a skirt. Like, huh. Nothing's wrong here. Nothing to see here, folks. Anybody else got to use the bathroom? I'm good. It's good. It's all good. So I'm sorry I was in there for 15 minutes.
Yeah. And everybody else that's waiting in line, hey, no, you're good. You're good. And then they whisper to each other, she's straightening a skirt she's not wearing. Is she okay? Did she have a couple of margaritas before she got on the plane?
It was awful.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
But I did say, well, you know, in case I was wondering if we were going to have anything to talk about. Now.
Yeah, well, you certainly had a story. Story to tell.
I did have a story. So that was something. And I got to tell you, I don't often have margaritas at 7 o'clock in the morning. I know people might be like, oh, you're a liar. But I really don't. It was almost enjoyable.
Almost, had you not had the boarding pass toilet issue.
Right, right.
Well, I'm sure it was. You know, I mean, there does come a time every now and then where if you ain't working, and like I said, that bar was open, so they ain't judging.
That bar was open.
You're not
Nobody
driving.
Else is judging. They're walking past you. They're going, hey, we're in Vegas. She can do what she wants. I don't care what time it is.
It's right. Nobody, what happens in Vegas stays
exactly.
in Vegas until you get into an airplane bathroom.
And it ends up in the toilet, right.
You know. And God knows.
I think I've asked you this before. When something like this happens, mm-hmm. You're probably initially like, why me? And you're horrified. How quickly do you get to, I can't wait to tell Carol Frankenberry.
And do you take notes so you can remember some of the details?
I didn't need to. This was so vivid. I was going to text you guys from the plane, but then I'm like, I want their fresh reaction. Yeah, that was something else.
I love when embarrassing things happen to you.
Did anything embarrassing happen to any of you over the last 2 weeks or no?
Not that I can report.
In your perfect non-embarrassing lives. Frankenberry, how's your back?
My back hurts 2 weeks later. So, trips to the chiropractor and muscle relaxants that don't work and too many ibuprofens.
Maybe you should try margaritas.
And the only thing I'm missing right now with the whole bent over thing that I've been doing for 2 weeks, all I need is a hump and a cot in the bell tower of an old Catholic cathedral.
Oh,
and I'm perfect. I'm set.
He thinks he's the hunchback.
That's all I need.
I will say this. I do feel bad that your back hurts. I know back pain can linger and it changes your whole outlook on life. But if anybody out there isn't friends with Frankenberry on Facebook, you should be, because he wrote something that was pretty humorous about it. His relationship with both a heating pad and an ice pack, and it's very entertaining.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. My two new girlfriends.
Yes. Yeah. And the pictures of the cats enjoying both of them, basically, is priceless. Yeah.
Well, Mimi's enjoyed the heating pad much more than I.
Very priceless. All right. So
who we got on the docket today?
Well, they're also at my blog, by the way.
Oh, yes, Frankenberry's Attic.
Yeah, Frankenberry's Attic. You know,
I always direct people to Facebook because it's a little easier, and then from there they can click on it. Can't they click on it and go to Frankenberry's Attic or no?
I took these and I put them up later.
Oh, you did?
I didn't do them first.
All right.
So
Frankenberry's Attic. .blog.com.net.gov.org.
Yes, .com.
.com.
Yes. So who do we have today? We have somebody named Petra. Is that correct?
So this is interesting. You know, kind of our theme for the beginning of the year is to have guests on who, you know, help make us better at being us. And this guest actually, I think, is really in Carol's wheelhouse because she is sort of a happiness specialist. And she really just, I think what we're going to talk to her about is there's a whole science, like, behind and about happiness, like, that kind of, like, dovetails, and I don't know, it's really fascinating stuff. So, on the line with us when we come back, we're going to have Petra Kolber. She is a speaker, author, coach, podcast host, and, get this, a DJ.
That's
and
so fun. I love that.
And we're going to talk to her all about the science of happiness and how to be happy and her latest course called Moving to Happiness when we come back.
And her book title, I love, The Perfection Detox.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Can't wait to talk to her about it.
All right. That is on the way here. You've got Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself, and we will be right back. You're listening to K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And we're back again on this Sunday morning here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. And as Jonna mentioned right before we went into this past break, we've tried to start out this new year by having guests that help us be better versions of ourselves.
Yes.
And in this particular case, happier versions of ourselves.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah, this is great. So on the line with us, we have Petra Kolber. She is a speaker, author, mindset coach, podcast host, and get this, folks, a DJ.
Love
which
it.
Which we love, right? You got to throw a little curveball in there. She's also a wellness leader who is known throughout the industry as a beacon of authentic happiness, which is what we're going to be talking about today. In August 2018, Petra released her first book, The Perfection Detox, Tame Your Inner Critic, Live Bravely, and Unleash Your Joy, which made its debut at what number, Frankenberry? Number one on the new releases on Amazon.
Very nice. Love it. Congratulations. Awesome.
I know it. And as a two-time cancer survivor, she is passionate about waking people up to the precious gift of time. Her mission is to inspire people to move more, fear less, so that they can stretch their dreams, strengthen their courage muscle. I love this. And build an inspired life full of joy and gratitude. Petra's latest course, which is how I found her, is entitled Moving to Happiness on the Creative Live platform. Petra, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Can I just have you interview me and announce me wherever I go?
You know what? Right. Awesome. Yeah, I come really cheap. So, yes, we could do it. Whatever you want. So, Petra, we are really, really happy to have you. So, I'm just going to give you a little quick background. My co-host here, Carol, is an author herself and a happiness expert. Her first book was entitled Happy Bitch. And so I think you two are going to be fast friends.
We're already sisters from another mister. Yeah, before we even get started.
Mister. And so I wanted to talk to you because I've been taking the course, your Creative Life course, and I'm fascinated because you're like a happiness advocate. You think there's a science behind the happiness and
there
vice
is.
Versa. So can we just jump in? What do we need to know about being happy?
Yeah, well, I think what's really interesting, especially this time of year, you know, we think we have to be better versions of ourselves.
Yeah.
And that already sets us up for failure. So really the work around happiness and, like, you know, there's actually a science around this now. This is not woo-hoo.
Yep.
This is thoughts. Our thoughts do direct our focus. And I think the first thing for your listeners to remember, this is not about becoming a better version of you. It's about remembering who you are.
I love
before
that.
Someone told you you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not this enough. And so this happiness work is, you know, I was a fitness expert for 25 years, and I jokingly but unwittingly said, for 25 years I studied from the neck down, but what I'm interested in now is what happens between the ears, because really our thoughts about ourselves, how we feel we are relevant or not to the world, whether we feel we're even worthy of this thing called happiness,
yep.
is the journey that I'm fascinated with these days.
Oh my goodness.
So becoming a happier in your life and more content and more fulfilled and more confident is less about becoming something or striving to become something. It's more like unveiling, revealing your authenticity, right?
Yes, yes, that, and also I think remembering to be yourself in a world that's constantly trying to change you is the remarkable act of courage. And with social media today and everything that we see around us, we have this gap between who we are, our true self, that still we can, you know, we can work to become our best self, but this idea we need to be something different.
Yep.
And I think that's where we get really stuck. So there is a science behind it, and I call it the heart work. You know, it takes work. Our brain's bias is towards the negative. It's called the negativity bias. And one of my favorite sayings is that negativity sticks to us like Velcro, and positivity slides off us like Teflon, because it's what kept our ancestors alive.
Yep.
So the thing about our brain is it's going to find everything that's wrong with us, everything that's wrong with the world, and it's not a character flaw. It's part of our genetics. And that's why to become a happier, more flourishing, thriving version of ourselves requires awareness, it requires acceptance, and then it requires action. And I say it's not a straight line. I say this work of happiness is, if you work out, it's kind of like interval training. We have ups and downs in our life, and I think sometimes we get this idea that we're happy or we're sad, or it's this or it's that. No, it's sometimes we're going to be happy, and sometimes we have to allow ourselves to feel the sadness and the grief and the loss. But with the tools and the science and the strategies from positive psychology and this incredible new world called neuroscience, we now see that some of our happiness, not all of it, some of our happiness is actually within our control. And the biggest factor is our choices. The choices of which thoughts we are going to focus on and which thoughts do we believe as true.
So, Petra, I completely agree with you, but I'm going to venture a guess that there could be people listening to us who are like, you know, we can lead those horses to water, but how do we make them drink, right? So if you're broke, if you just broke up with you're getting divorced, or you, in your case, and I'd love to hear more of your backstory, right? You survived cancer twice. You get a terrible health diagnosis. How do people like that change their mindset from the doom and gloom to choosing thoughts that help them or serve them better?
That's such a great question. So the interesting thing is I took a year off. I went back to school for positive psychology, and I studied one of the greats, Tal Ben-Shahar.
Oh,
and they say, you know, it's easy to... Ah, oh, love him. Yep. He's one of my mentors and friends. And, you know, it's easy to teach happiness when you're happy. So this is completely honest. You know, look, one of the biggest things for finding happiness we talk about is gratitude. And right after I had done Creative Live, I was about to put this course out into the world and do my first two-day live workshop. 3 weeks prior to my first workshop, this is over 5 years ago, my heart was broken. Mm-mm. I mean, broken. I was on the floor to my knees, and I was like, well, this is interesting. Because it's easy to teach happiness when things are going well. Yeah. But what I can say for sure for that listener right now, that maybe, you know, they lost a job, they had a bad health diagnosis, maybe they, you know, there was a breakup or whatever, you're not always going to be able to find gratitude in these moments, because gratitude needs to be heartfelt. Sometimes, you know, the journey back to happiness is simply noticing your breath, simply getting out in nature and taking a walk. But what I can tell you, that when you are ready and when you make small steps, where, you know, when it's the extraordinary ordinary of days, when we are not getting over loss or grief or the uncertain, then we work hard and we celebrate these joyous moments and find gratitude. And in those dips, in those moments when life throws you a curveball that you were not expecting, you simply breathe and you become into the moment, and there will be a day when all of a sudden there's that lightness, and that's when you get to do the harder work of seeking out gratitude. Because we have to go through the process of grieving, whatever that might be, and there is going to come a day when you get to choose. Is my past going to dictate my future? And that's where this work becomes so powerful, because I'm sure you've met those people that, you know, they had a breakup and they're still mourning it. And you go, well, how long ago is it? Oh, it was 5 years ago. That was, you know, okay, fine. You know, and that, I got to tell you, that breakup, it took me a much longer than I thought. It took me way longer to get over that than the death of my mom and even the cancer, because it was so unexpected. And I really have to say, you know, I look up kind of begrudgingly at the world going, really? You had to teach me this way to prove that the work works? But it does. And, you know, what this work allows us to do is, when things are going great, and they are going to go great a lot of the time, it allows us to enjoy those moments without waiting for the shoe to drop. And then in those dips, in the pain and the wandering and the I don't know what I'm going to do next, it allows you to remember that this too will pass, and you will be able to breathe again. And at some point, you're actually going to be the person that helps a friend of yours get through the very thing that you're working through now.
That's very true, Petra. This is Carol. I want to point out two very powerful points within what you just said, a lot of powerful points, but something that I've come to learn the hard way, as we learn best sometimes, is number one, you mentioned how powerful, and there's science behind positive psychology, and that directing our thoughts to the positive, a wonderful thing. And within that, you also mentioned, and I agree with you, that is also important to give ourselves space to experience the pain. If you try to push it down too quickly and force that positive, it's not going to go away. It's probably just going to bury there for a while, wait for someone else to join up, and then come to the surface. So I love that you talk about giving space for that emotion. Give yourself space to grieve or be angry. You're normal. You're human. Number one. And number two, the other thing that you said that I love is the power of small steps. The power of, okay, if the best thing I can do is focus on my breath today, that's progress. Because when we're feeling so low, and I know there's somebody listening right now that is feeling desperate or depressed or maybe borderline hopeless, that happiness feels so far away, to know that you don't have to get there in 5 minutes from now. Just focus on your breath. Take one little step that calms you down. Little steps consistently over time are going to get you where you want to be.
Yeah, I think that's such a great reminder. And notice that sometimes you do need help beyond yourself.
Yes.
You know, when I went through that, I went back into therapy for a year because I just couldn't figure, you know, I taught this stuff. And I never forget, I was actually calling up one of my teachers. It was maybe 3 months after the breakup. I'm like, I'm having a hard time. I was feeling bad about myself for not being able to find the gratitude in this. And she's like, oh, Petra, sometimes it's just enough to do the work of showing up for yourself. And the wonderful thing about breathing is it anchors us to our present.
Yeah.
And I think this is where positive psychology got a bad rap. We can't focus. It's not rose-colored glasses at the expense of real life.
Oh, I love
but
that.
That's so true. And I think what happens is, you know, we have these bumper stickers on social media, crush your fears, kick fears away, and just be happy. But that's not real life. And then what happens is we start comparing our highlight reel, you know, the highlight reel of everybody else, to our real backstory, and that's when we get into trouble. And like you had so well said, this is not about bypassing the hard stuff. It's actually giving you the strength and the ability to sit with the not so great stuff so that you can work through it. And it's only by going through it, I wish I could tell you otherwise, but it's by going through it with kindness and compassion and grace and with no time limit. Grief has no time limit. People say, how long is this going to take? And I say, longer than you think and less time than you expect. It just is. And it's frustrating, but that's some of the beauty that comes with this work.
Petra, you know, you just touched on something. There are 2 points I wanted to make, but I'll start with this one. Sometimes if I have a lot of people in my life, whether it's I'm an attorney, so it's whether it's a client or whether it's a family member or a friend. And sometimes I feel like they stay stuck in an unhappy place because they're going to feel guilty having good moments when something around them is going bad, whether it's a family member who's sick or a loved one who's sick or something terrible has happened, and they don't feel like they're allowed to be happy. And for me, I have a very difficult time trying to Rubik cube them out of that way of thinking. And if I had a superpower, I think I would want it to be like, how do you pull somebody? Is there a way to pull somebody and let them know that they don't have to feel guilty about feeling good?
Love that question.
Well, I think you just nailed it on the head. I mean, the crazy thing is, right, we think we can change people. And that's never going to work. But one thing we can do with that is, I always say, you live it to preach it. So people often look, they'll learn more from our actions than what we say, especially if it's a family member. We can't badger them into, you know, trying to work a different way. But with that idea of feeling guilty for feeling better, sometimes it's actually a fear of what happens when our life does become bigger and we step into a new place in our life, because better the devil we know, this discomfort, and we find comfort, and we kind of, some of the friends we surround ourselves are often part of that dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
You know that saying that we are a replicate, you know, we kind of are a mirror of the 5 people we surround ourselves with. So deciding to choose a happier way or a more flourishing life also might mean losing some of what we know. That could be friends, that could be our current job, that could even be our partner. You know, we hope that they can come along with us for the journey, but choosing to take these actions to move to a life where we flourish and thrive does also require letting go of what we know, whether that is good, bad, or indifferent. So that can also often be some reasons why I have found people cling to, I'd rather feel unhappy because I know what this brings tomorrow, than I don't even know what this journey of possibility and curiosity could look like. So it's just finding the joy. And I just say, look at it as an experiment. Try it on for a day and see what happens. We all have 24 hours. And if you don't like how that feels, you can go back to the way you are. Just try it as an experiment and play with it.
Test the waters. I like that. I don't remember who said it, but somebody said, you don't help the poor by becoming one of them.
And I
think the same can be applied to happiness, that lowering your experience of life deliberately isn't going to help the people around you.
Yeah, one thing another therapist in air quotes said to me once, and it was so true. When it comes to like energy, our life force, if you're at a 1, say, you know, in a really like down, you know, but not a victim mentality, but you have chosen to like stay down, and then you have someone else at a 10. They've chosen to like do the work and show up at a 10. So why? She said, a basement never rises to the penthouse. Penthouse always crashes to the basement. You cannot pull someone up, but you can choose to be the light, and then they have to make the choice of whether they're going to step up and be a part of that light. But you will lose your light trying to pull people up along the way.
Wow.
That is very powerful. Speaking of, I wanted to touch, we only have a couple more minutes with you, and I just wanted to touch on the latest course on Creative Live. Can you tell us a little bit about that and who would benefit from taking your course?
Yeah, well, I think the course on Creative Live is an in-depth, I think it's anyone that is seeking, like, especially this time of year, you know, is there a way to live differently, or there's that yearning. Maybe there's a different way for me to show up. And it gives you 2 days of practical steps that you can take, whether, you know, for your mindset, whether it's dealing with fear or perfection or thinking that you have to be different. And also, as a teaser, I have a free mini, very shortened version of that. You can find that at petrakolber.com/happy. And that's petrakolber.com/happy. And test the waters out there. That gives you like the five main ingredients around, you know, what positive psychology is, what happens with gratitude, how you can focus your thoughts. And then if you like that, definitely pop on to Creative Live, and they'll give you like a free trial to, you know, you can look at a couple of the chapters of what I offer and see if that's a good fit for you as you build this incredible decade ahead of you.
Petra, tell us about your book as well. Right. The title of that is The Perfection Detox, correct?
Yes, I call this the shadow side of happiness. You know, for me, a lot of my journey to doing this work on positive psychology was my struggles with this idea of having to be perfect to be of value. And it kind of began on my fitness journey when I became a fitness expert and a fitness influencer with Reebok. And I was on TV and on, you know, VHS tapes, don't judge me. A lot of things like that.
We're all there. You're good.
Okay, good. And what I realized was I thought I needed to be perfect to share my message. And what I understood along the way is that we actually connect through our cracks. No one relates to perfect. And so based on the work of positive psychology, I help people detox from the negative and then anchor the positive into that vacuum, because our brain doesn't like a vacuum. And then how we, once we can do to sustain this idea of we are enough and that the world would rather have your imperfect voice, story, podcast, blog than your perfect silence. And that's the book is worth writing.
That's awesome.
Wow. And people can get that book on Amazon.com, bookstores?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. And if you prefer to listen to your book, it's also on Audible.
Well, there you go. That's how Jonna reads all her books.
All of my books. So, Petra, this has really been a pleasure. If people want to get more information, get to know you better, I'm sure you're all over social media. Where they can find you on Facebook, Instagram, right? And PetraColber.com.
Yes, all of that. And on Instagram and social media, it's just Petra Kolber. So I'm easy to find. And I'd love to stay connected with you and see how I can be a part of your journey as you build a flourishing and thriving life. And then help others do the same.
That's amazing. And thank you so much. Okay, we are wrapping up here with Petra Kolber. Oh, Petra, wait. Where can we like go listen to you DJ if we want to bust a move? Like, what if we just get an urge to bust a move? We're so happy. That's what we want to do. Are you still doing that? Do you do that all over the place? Where do you do that?
Yeah, no, I don't. It's definitely not going to be a second career, but I have DJ VIP parties and I DJ in New York City in the summer. But really now that's a part of, you know, staying, you know, part of being happy is staying interested and staying learning. And so I'm actually weaving that into my keynote. So my new keynote is how to lead like a DJ. So
Petra, let us know when you're in New York. Let us know when you're in New York, because that's our neck of the woods.
Okay, I live in New York, so we'll connect offline, and we'll stay connected.
She's letting you know right now.
Right. Well, there we go. Petra, thank you very much. We appreciate the time you gave us, and you've got Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci, and we're not done yet there, folks, so you just hang with us. We'll be back with segment number three. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And we're back one more time this morning here on Happy Hour on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
And Petra was very cool. As you guys noted when we hung up the phone, her energy was astounding.
It really great. And I just want to tell you guys something. From listening to her Creative Live course, there's something that I love about her even more. And she tells people that. She's like, look, I am... She talks about imposter syndrome, which is kind of a, if you know anything about pop psychology, it's the term that gets batted around a lot. And she's like, she suffered from that initially when she was getting into this work. She said, because I don't have three letters behind my name.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally dig that, because you don't need to, you know, have JD, PhD, RN, LPN, and, you know, any of that behind you in order to walk your walk. And she's living proof of that. And I really admire that about her.
Yeah, she's got great energy. And what I love is it felt very genuine and natural. Didn't feel like she was like, okay, I turn the switch on now and do an interview. Mm-hmm. She was great. I loved her. I can't wait to read her book.
And it really is true. I mean, we have practiced and preached this for a long time, but thoughts are things. If you want to change your life, you change what's going on between your ears.
Yep.
And it's not easy to do.
And don't beat yourself up for what already is going on between your ears. Like, I love that she addressed that.
Yeah.
Like, we're all human. We all have moments. Your life is never going to be 100% happy 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. But if you give yourself space to acknowledge the tough things and the tough thoughts without mm-hmm. beating yourself up for having them or experiencing them, and then gently move yourself, even if that starts with focusing on your breath, that's what you want.
Right. One small step at a time.
Yeah.
One 7 a.m. margarita.
That's all you need.
At an airport.
Two
at a time.
7 a.m. margaritas.
That's right. And a luggage ticket dropped in the toilet, and boom, you're all set. You are moving forward.
Full circle.
The rest of that day is looking up.
That's right. Did you ever hear about that book? What's it called? Eat That Frog? Like, based on that saying, like, if you get up in the morning, first thing you should do is eat a frog, because it's only going to be better from there.
Go like fishing
that.
In an airplane toilet. First thing in the morning.
Right. I hope that never happens again. I hope that's a one-time deal.
I'm going to be honest.
Well, I'm just glad.
It wouldn't bother me if it did happen to you again.
Well, it wouldn't bother me either.
Because the second time around would be even funnier.
Yes, we all need good laughs. But I'm just glad that you were brave enough to wrap your hand in a paper towel and grab that ticket so that it didn't end up being a situation where you clogged up the toilet and they had to turn the plane around and go back to Vegas because the bathroom blew up and your name is sitting right in the middle of the mess.
It would have been awful.
Now, I got to tell you, for a Jonna story, that would have been an ending.
That's what I was trying to avoid, a Jonna ending. So there you have it. I don't know. What else have we got to talk about here?
Well, you mentioned something about one of the shows that you guys watched. There's something new, and Jonna went, pshaw.
So I'm not I've said this before, I'm not a huge TV person. I'm not somebody who typically binge watches or spends a ton of time in front of the television. But for whatever reason, I've been sucked into the Below Deck series. They have Below Deck Med and then regular Below Deck.
Because it's awesome.
I enjoy it. And if you're not mm-hmm. familiar with it, they follow the crew of a luxury yacht. And you get, you know, interaction with the guests, but it's really focused on the lives of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sucked in. I would say this is not my favorite season of Below Deck with Captain Lee. And there's, like, with Riley back, there's just crazy amount of drama. But they're coming out with a new one next week,
mm-hmm.
actually. Starts tomorrow night. Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Did you see that? Previews of that?
Yeah. I saw it.
So that was my lead in, by the way, people.
All right. I don't think I'm going to like it. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. And here's why.
Why?
I'm not about, you know, it's like, to me, that's like Below Deck meets Deadliest Catch. Like, I'm not about, the show isn't good to me because of a boat's going back and forth, and oh, are you going to sink? Or it's the relationships, right? So number one, I think they're jumping.
Hookups. You could say it.
Yes, they're jumping the shark. No pun intended with this new sailing thing. Two, they showed the cast of characters or crew on the coming attractions on the commercial, and I'm like, Boorsville, boring. Nope.
All right, I'll watch the first episode and check in with you and let you know whether you should bother watching or not.
Okay, yeah, you be my canary in the coal mine.
Or the king's taster.
Yes.
Yes, or the queen in this case.
I know you're a Bravo celebrity addict. Did you see this week's episode of Below Deck? It had an Orange County housewife on it.
Last week's. Did you see that? How embarrassing.
Oh, the one where she was celebrating her divorce?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the public displays of affection.
It was disgusting.
It was disgusting.
It's like, how can you like somebody that much?
And then
like,
she goes to him, are you going to get down on one knee tonight? And he's like... like she flat out asked him. Yeah, she was all over
it
him.
Was, and that I don't like PDAs to begin with, but just because
you're... A little bit's okay, but that one's like tongue in your mouth, like humping in the hot tub.
It's disgusting. But let me ask you a question, since you're a fan and you're not.
Yeah, for anybody out there, by the way, I have no idea what the hell they're talking about, and that makes me happy.
I know.
So...
But what do you think the cost is to charter? Like, if I called up Captain Lee and said, how much for 2 days, me and my girlfriends, on this boat, on this little ship?
That's a good question, because they tip $15,000 to $20,000 for 2 nights.
Right. So do you think that's like 20%? Is that
10%? I don't know.
Because you
so
would
it's a
think,
couple of hundred grand then to get on this
I
boat?
I can't imagine like for it 2 days? That much. But the tip is usually a percent of what you spend for any kind of service. So I don't know. Find that out. We should just Google.
I mean, there's got to be a way, because they had somebody on the show this week who was a former ESPN sportscaster.
Oh, Jamel.
Yeah. And, you know, with a bunch of her girlfriends, because she was getting engaged or something. Anyway, I'm wondering, like, do they all chip in?
Well, you know, but it's also a TV show. They might only just chip in for the tip. You know, I mean, everybody else is getting paid.
That could be too.
That's the other thing,
right? All the staff's getting paid. Yeah, the cost of the overhead of doing the show. They're probably renting the boat already. So.
All right. So let me ask you this question.
Point.
Let me ask you this question. Bravo comes up to you and they say, "All right, we can get you on Below Deck, free of charge, except for the tip. No, we can get you on Below Deck. Okay." It's going to cost you $100,000, whatever the price is, plus a tip. But you can talk about all your books. You can talk about whatever you want to do. You know, do you do it with the cameras following you around, or would you do it for money? Would you do it for free, or would you not do it at all?
I would do it for the experience. I think it'd be a cool experience, but I would select very carefully who came with me. You'd be on the list.
If I wasn't on the list, I'd be the pirate, the first pirate on Below Deck. Like, is there a girl on a dinghy? Is that a dinghy?
Pull that boat out.
Yeah. Right? I'm coming on. Yeah. Give me that lifeline. Riley, you shut up, you...
And I'll be like, is that a pink unicorn floaty down there?
And
is
then
that
I'm gonna get
Jonna?
And then I'm gonna get dragged into it. Yeah,
threatening
no.
us?
I don't want to get my hair wet.
Okay. I think that's probably good. So just a real quick one, by the way, moms and dads, if you're listening out there, and I'm sure that you try to tell your kids all the time and half of them probably ignore you, and you say fruits and vegetables are healthy for you. They will help you live a longer life.
Why are you bringing that up?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just let them know about the 76-year-old woman in New York who fell 7 stories out of her window and landed on boxes of fruits and vegetables, and she lived.
Oh,
so there you
my.
Go. There
they must have been like bananas. They must have been soft fruit.
Actually, they weren't soft fruit, but she survived anyway.
Wow.
So there's your example.
What
all right.
She
anyway.
She doing? How she fell?
She just opened the window. She is 76, though, too. Mm-hmm. So this has been Happy Hour with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. We do it every Sunday morning here on K104. So make sure that you come back with us again next Sunday at 7 o'clock, and we will talk to you then. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.